I thank you for speaking through me and using me for your glory. I pray that everyone under the sound of my voice will have hearing ears and an open heart to receive your word. And Father, we give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. In Jesus' mighty name, someone shout amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Praise God. God has been good to us, hasn't he? Oh, yes. Turn in your Bibles once again to Joshua chapter 1, and I'm going to read the 8th verse again. And we are that time again, we're about the middle of December or getting close to it. And 2002 is almost gone. Seems like 2002, I've said that a number of times, 2022. Amen. There was something special about 2002, though. That's when we moved into that our facility here. But I didn't mean 2002. I meant 2022. Amen. I left out two. But anyway, it seems like it was just a couple months ago that I was saying essentially the same thing to you back in December of 2021. And now here we are again. Here we are again. But guess what? God has been faithful to us. Amen. We came into this year trusting God. And listen to me. Listen to me real good. We came into this year trusting God. And we've seen a lot of things take place in 2022. We've seen some of our loved ones and people we know leave us and go be with the Lord. But you know what? We're still here. By the grace of God, you hear me? By the grace of God, we are still here, and we give him the glory for that. We give him the glory for that. We give him the glory for that. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise the name of the Lord. God is faithful. God is faithful. Hallelujah. And we thank him for it. All right, I'm not going to keep you very long. I don't plan to, but I want to go back into the word of God here in Joshua, first chapter, 8th verse. And we've been talking about good success. That's been my subject. And we need to have good success for the rest of this year and on into 2023 and many years beyond that. Amen. Hallelujah. Verse 8 says, "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it, for then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success." Amen. Success is also a process. There's some things that we have to do. Success don't just happen. It don't just happen. And God laid it out to Joshua. If you're going to have good success, son, then you're going to have to make sure that the word of God is coming out of your mouth, that you're studying his word, that you're feeding on his word every day and every night. And by doing that, then you will observe to do according to all, everybody say all, to all that is written in it. Now, sometimes people, and I've said this before, but sometimes people miss that little three-letter word, all, all. Many people, and you can preach probably thousands of sermons from Joshua 1:8. You can preach it from the financial standpoint. You can preach it from health standpoint. You can, and go on and on and on. But we cannot limit it, let's say, for example, to finances. Yes, God wants us to prosper. Can I get an amen on that? Amen. How many of you believe that God wants you to be poor? I don't see any hands. Let me ask, maybe you didn't hear me. How many of you believe that God wants you poor, living in poverty, not knowing where you're going to get the next meal? Anybody believe that that's what God wants for you? There are no hands, and thank God there are no hands. You know different. Amen. God wants us to prosper. God wants us to prosper financially. He wants our needs met. That's the reason Jesus told us, and he taught, stop worrying about tomorrow. God wants to take care of your tomorrow. Stop worrying about it and start trusting him. And Jesus' version of Joshua 1:8 is, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. But again, we see the process. There's a priority there. And the priority is, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Amen. Who is it? 3 John 2, beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest what? Prosper, and that thou mayest be in health. But that's not all that it says. Even as your what? Soul prospers. Hallelujah. Which tells us then that our spiritual condition is a priority. Because anybody can make a few dollars. And there are many today making money, but they're doing it illegally. But they got money. So you have to understand, money is not everything. No wonder the Bible tells us that the love of money is the root of all evil. And don't misinterpret that. It didn't say money is the root of all evil. Matter of fact, money is neutral. Money is neutral. The same dollar, and I hope you gave more than that, but if that's all you got, God bless you. Amen. Because God will bless that. Remember the widow's mite? Amen. But what I'm saying is, the money that you gave to God goes into the bank. Next week, somebody else could be used that same money that you gave in church in a drug deal. You're still with me? So money is not sinful. It's just neutral. It's how it's used. You still with me? It's how it's used. So the Word of God said, not the money is evil, but the love of it is the root of all evil. Because when you love money, you start doing things your mama told you not to do. You start acting in ways your mama told you not to act.
Yeah.
I'm talking about your Christian godly mama.
Yeah.
In other words, you will put your morals on the back burner. All because of money. So don't ever think, you know, the Bible tells us in Psalm 37 not to fret because of evildoers that prosper in their way of doing things. And sometimes Christians see that they believe in God meet needs in their life, but they look at their sinner friends or the sinner neighbors and they look like they want for nothing. Seem like they're all driving new cars. They living in the finest home. They going on vacations anywhere they want to go. They can do anything that they want to do. And I'm not saying everybody that live that way wrong. I'm not saying that at all. But sometimes when you have a need in your life and you know you love God and you know you trust in God, but you take a look at these folks that's doing so well and you think, why me? Lord, I'm serving you and look at them. Well, you know, some people prosper in their way, but God has called us to prosper in his way. Are y'all still here? We're called to prosper God's way. And sometimes you have to be patient. Sometimes you have to be patient. Sometimes God is teaching you some things in the process. Got a question for you. I'm not looking for any response from you. Just provoke you to think. If someone told you after church today, pulled you to the side, and say, ask you your name, are you such and such? And you say, well, yeah, I am. Are you the person I'm looking for? You have a relative that you don't really know, but they knew about you. They knew of you when you was a child, but they moved away and they became filthy rich. So they died and they left you some money. So here's a check for $10 million. Now, of course, you received your check, $10 million. Your life just changed. But my question to you is this. I'm not looking for a response. My question to you is this. Would you be back to church next Sunday? When would we see you again? Will we ever see you again? Well, my faith is that every one of you would be right back here Sunday. But the truth of the matter is there are some folks somewhere in some church, hopefully not this one, that says, I've been wanting to learn to play golf all my life. I've been wanting to go to a football game, an NFL game, all my life. There's some things I've been wanting to do all my life. Church can wait. I give them a little piece of money, they'll be happy. Come on. I mean, that's the way some people would act. But now, look at you. Look at the person beside you and say, "But I know that's not you." Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Well, let me move on. Hallelujah. Have y'all received anything yet? Thank you, Lord Jesus. So anyway, the scripture, let me read it again so we can get back. "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do all according to all that is written in it, for then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success." I like that word, good. Yeah. "Then you will have good success." And I've talked to you about this, and I want to move on kind of speedily now. But one of the ways to be successful, first of all, stay away from bad advice and ungodly advice. I made a commitment, and I'm sticking by it. I'm 72 years old now, and I thank God for that. Amen? I thank God for that. But I made a commitment many years ago that I would always remain teachable, because I know I don't know everything. And if I live to be 100 years old, 110, 120, whatever, I'll still leave here not knowing everything there is to know about God and the things of God and the wisdom of God. But now, don't get me wrong, I'm grabbing all I can get. You hear me? I'm grabbing all of God's wisdom that I can get. But my commitment is this: I will always remain teachable as long as I'm alive. But I do choose my teachers wisely. Amen. In the very first Psalm, it tells us not to listen to ungodly counsel. Amen. You know, I know you're a Christian and all, but I tell you what, look, God don't mind if you compromise a little bit. Let me show you another way to get the same thing done. You better run away from that. You better run away from that. So I remain teachable, but I choose my teachers wisely. I don't listen to any and everybody. And can I help y'all with something else while I'm on the subject? Do I have you? There are some wonderful teachers and preachers on YouTube, Facebook. There are some wonderful, godly men and women that minister. But there's also some bad ones. So don't swallow everything hook, line, and sinker just because they have reverend in front of their name, or because they have pastor in front of their name, or because they have apostle or prophet. It doesn't cost you one penny to call yourself an apostle. It doesn't cost you a thing to call yourself a prophet. Doesn't mean you are one, but you can call yourself one. There are people grabbing these handles, and they're leading people astray. No wonder the Bible tells us to know those who labor among you. Know those who labor among you. You don't follow just anybody, because some folks will lead you astray. And one of the things that Jesus cautioned about as he was teaching concerning the last days and the destruction of the temple and so forth, he cautioned about false teachers, false prophets in the last days. And then the Apostle Paul did the same thing to Timothy. Talked about what? False teachers with wrong motives, trying to lead people astray. Know those that labor among you. Remember, what you eat goes inside of you. And what you eat affects your body, physical body, either good or bad. The same applies to what we eat spiritually. Now, since I'm on this subject, let me say something else. Just because you've seen a miracle or two doesn't mean that they're men of God or women of God. I have been around. I've been born again, as you heard me say so many times, and since 1969, and I have learned a lot. I've met a lot of people. And I've seen some miracles. And I've seen some pretend miracles over the years. And some of these same folk didn't care a thing about me or anybody else. They just wanted the money. Man, I've seen some offering schemes like you wouldn't believe. Amen. And I know you have too, Tony, because you and I have been in some of the same meetings, some of that stuff went on. This has been years ago, but we have to be careful in the last day. So remain teachable, but don't just follow anything hook, line, and sinker. Get some information. Find out about these people. Is that mean? No, that's for your protection. It's for your protection. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I could go on, but let me. Oh, hallelujah. So, don't listen to ungodly counsel. You got to have good food. Live a life of obedience. We talked about this last week. Live a life of obedience. Obey the word of God. Do what the word of God says to do. Now, you ready for this one? I mentioned it last week. I'm going to mention it again. Morals. The Bible has a whole lot to say about how we live and what we do as Christians. The world's going to be the world, but we are not to live like the world. We were once darkness, the Bible say, but now we are what? Light. We were once darkness, but now we are light. So if we are light, we shouldn't live like we're still in darkness. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Do good works. Work that which is good. That is so important. Turn to in your Bible to the book of Ephesians. The second chapter, Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, and I want to read verse 10 to you. It says in verse 10, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus." For what? For good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. If you want to be successful and have good success, do that which is good. You hear me? Do that which is good. Believers, Christians are supposed to be doing good works for the glory of God. We're not trying to work our way to heaven. By grace we're saved, not by works, lest any man should boast. It's not the works. We're born again. That's what makes us right with God. But we are to do good works for him. Jesus told his disciples, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Heal the sick, cast out devils, and on and on and on and on. But now I want to turn in your Bibles to Nehemiah, the 8th chapter. Nehemiah chapter 8. We're into the Christmas season. And many people have a giving heart. And that's a good thing. And they want to be a blessing. And I want to say continue that. But don't limit it to the Christmas season, the holiday season. Let's do it 12 months out the year, 365 and a quarter days every year. Let's do that which is good. Now, in Nehemiah chapter 8, Ezra began to minister the word of God to the people. And you know, sometimes when you hear the word of God, it's not always comfortable. Can anybody attest to that? Now my hands up. Take your hands down just a moment. I'm just curious about something. How many of you have had your toes stepped on since you've been coming to Word of Life right here in the sanctuary? I'm just mighty curious. Okay. Amen. God bless you. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but I pray that whatever God was dealing with you about, you change. But here's my point. The Word of God will change you. It'll pinch you sometime. And these people heard the word of the law, and some of them, you know, cried and so forth. But If you do what the word of God says, like Joshua chapter 1, verse 8, then we can go to verse 10, Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10. Then he said to them, go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet. Whoa, let me back up there. Then he said to them, go your way, eat the fat, and drink the sweet. Hallelujah. God wants us to eat the fat and drink the sweet. God doesn't mind us having the fat. You understand what I'm saying? Prospering, having plenty of food to eat, being blessed. God doesn't mind that at all. He said, go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, and send what? Portions to those for whom nothing is prepared. Takes us right back to what Peter said. God blesses us to be a blessing. God blesses us to be a blessing. If God does not prosper you, if you are not successful in material things, you are very limited as to how much you can be a blessing to someone else that have a need. Here's the good thing about it. God wants us to share what he's blessed us with. He wants us to share it. Because we have to understand, always keep in mind, what we have in this earth is very temporal. It's temporary. But what he gives us over there on the other side is permanent. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. So if we have the ability to help someone, let's do it. And not just during the holiday season, but every opportunity we get. Let's be a blessing to someone. That's part of our success. When I obey God, that's a reflection of my success. Hallelujah. God doesn't want us to be stingy and hog it all for ourselves. He said, eat the fat, drink the sweet, enjoy yourself, have yourself, this is me now, have yourself a steak. Or whatever kind of meat you like, you go ahead and have yourself a steak, enjoy yourself, but don't forget those that doesn't have anything. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Jesus had preached and talked, and at the end, he looked down at the multitude and he had compassion on them. They needed some food, they needed some nourishment. And Jesus did something about it, didn't he? He worked a miracle. But the disciples got in on it because guess what? They got the opportunity to serve. Oh, I could preach on that a while today too, but I won't. Amen. Whatever you do, don't forget to be a blessing to someone else. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Y'all still here? And I'm getting ready to close on, well, let me read one other thing to you. Proverbs chapter 19. I'm going to speed this up. Go with me real quick to the book of Proverbs, 19th chapter. I'm trying to get there myself. Verse 17, Proverbs 19, verse 17. It says, he who has pity on the poor does what? He who has pity on the poor lends to the Lord. And he will do what? Pay back what he has given. Amen. That's Proverbs 19, 17. Don't you ever feel like when you give to help someone else that you are losing? You will never lose. The Word of God says, they have it on the screen now. Let's read. Some of you were waiting on the screen. Now, y'all do bring your Bibles to church, right? Okay. It's on the screen now. He who has pity on the poor lends to who?
The Lord.
Jesus himself said, when you've given unto the least of these, you've what? You've given unto me. He who has pity on the poor lends to the Lord, and I'm glad he added the rest, and he will do what? He will pay back what he has given. We have a promise from God that when we give to the poor, we are really lending to the Lord, and the Lord is saying, I'm going to give it back to you. You're going to get it back. And knowing God the way I do, when God gives it back, it is much more than we gave to help someone else. Because understand something, God will never be left owing anyone anything. Hallelujah. So that means we can be a giver and be successful, having good success. Why? Because we are about our Father's business. And y'all have heard me tell you, and I won't go through my story again, but it's been tough in my life years and years past, and that's no fun. That is no fun at all. When you look at your wife and you look at your little children and wondering, how am I going to feed them? Thank you, Jesus. Now, thank you, Lord Jesus. As I close this out, let's wrap it up like this. If you want to be successful as a Christian, if you want to have good success in your life, make a decision that you are going to please God. You're going to do everything that you can to please Him. And I want to read you a couple of scripture references as I close. The first one is in 1 Thessalonians, the 4th chapter. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Hallelujah. I want to leave this verse with you. The Apostle Paul was getting ready to finalize his letter to the Thessalonians. He says, chapter 4, verse 1, "Finally, then, brethren, we urge and exhort you in the Lord Jesus that you should abound more and more, just as you receive from us how you ought to walk and to do what?" And to do what? Amen. It's important. It's important that we please God. Now one, this is the last one, Colossians chapter 1, book of Colossians chapter 1. I'll just begin reading. And verse 9 says, "For this reason we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding." Hallelujah. Now listen to this. "That you may do what? Walk worthy of the Lord," doing what? Doing what? Fully pleasing Him. "Being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God." Listen to me, I'm closing out right now. If you want to have good success, put your faith in the Word of God. Get a hold of the Word of God. Do the Word of God. Do what it says. Do what it says. Live the life. Walk the walk. And you have a promise from God that you will have good success. Well, Pastor, things didn't exactly turn out the way I thought they were supposed to. That's not what's important. Things are supposed to turn out the way God wants it to turn out. And God always worked things together for our good. For our good. For my good. That's the reason I tell people, young people especially, pray. Pray. You need to pray about, really, you need to pray about what, if you're going to college, you need to pray about what college you go to. You need to pray about what direction God wants you to go. God may be calling you into ministry and you're heading out a different direction. Or God may be calling you to do something else. He may want you to do something else. Whatever you do, always have an audience with the Lord. Take some time to talk to the Lord. And he will direct your path. He promised that, didn't he? He promised us that he will direct our path if we will seek him first. I want to have good success in my life. I don't want to have to hear the Lord say when we all stand before him, say, "Son, I want to tell you, you did all right. You did all right, but you didn't really do what I wanted you to do." and you knew what I wanted you to do, but you chose, it was right down on the inside of you, but you chose to go a different direction. I don't want the Lord to ever have to say that to me. How about you? Amen. Amen. Father, we thank you. May we have this good success that you promised Joshua. And we know we can, Father. We will stay in your word, observe to do what it says, walk with you. You will direct our path. We will be where you want us to be. Not just being there, but being there when you want us there and doing what you want us to do while we're there. I thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.